Well, good morning again, everyone, and we're going to go ahead and get started here. And we can realize all of the things that Satan is doing. We feel like that we are in the last days. We can take a look what happened over in Paris, France this week, and all of the horrible things that are going on. It seems like that the radical Muslims are wanting to infiltrate our country and all the other countries around the world. They are in the stages of wanting to take over the world, the way it seems. And we know who is driving that force. It's Satan and his demons. And Satan and his demons realize that we are in the last days. They know that their time is short. And I do want to mention this, that our president of the church, Mr. Victor Kubik, when he sent out his letter yesterday, he summed it up by saying, you know, that all of us in the ministry need to be preaching repentance. I am so glad that we are ahead of the curve. For over about the past year, I don't know about Mr. Keller's and the rest of them. I don't get to hear all their sermons, but I do know that the sermons that I have been giving over the past year have been about repentance. Because I feel that that is one of the most important things that that God wants us to be thinking about daily, whether you're baptized or not, is to think about repenting of your sins and doing God's will, being obedient to God, because we are in these last days. And Pat and I were talking on the way driving over here this morning. Back in 95, before the big split came, when Satan started dividing the church then, in our era, in our lifetimes here, is that between Memphis and Jackson, there was probably about 750 people. Now, I don't feel all of them have moved out of state or out of town. I think most of them are probably still around here in the woodwork, so to speak. And we, in the last 4 months, and then counting today, we will have total of 6 new baptisms. There has been much spiritual growth going on here. I know several mentioned, you know, what are you speaking over there that is bringing on these baptisms? Well, like I said, I've been giving a whole lot of repentance sermons at God's guidance. One thing that I do before I sit down and write a sermon, and right before I give the sermon, have God to speak through me, is that I pray to God, please don't let me get in your way. You do the speaking. You bring us the information that we desperately need. And that's what he is doing. I don't know enough. I don't want to be in God's way at all. I want to yield to him every second of my life that I can too. And that's what each and every one of us want to do as well too. But Pat and I were talking on the way driving over here, these 750 people that are still in the woodwork. Jackson could be the nucleus of the spiritual growth that could happen here in this area. Because I feel that with the troubles that's coming on in the world, there's going to be a whole lot of people that's going to say, I need to come back to God's truth. I need to come back to being obedient to God. I need God's protection and his blessings. So, you all could be the nucleus here. You all could be the nucleus here of the growth that could be seen in this Western Tennessee area. And I would like to see the Masonic Temple filled. And let's pray and ask God to do that as well, too. Something that we definitely need to do. So the sermon today, when I do my daily Bible study, that's where God gives me the sermons to speak on different things. And he brought me to 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy, it was written while the Apostle Paul was in prison. And the courts there have decided that, you know, that they were going to kill him. He knew that his life was coming close to an end. And he wanted to make sure that his spiritual son, Timothy, was going to carry on the torch throughout his generation, and would not be led away by any false teaching. Any false teaching that was that would be going on. Now, there's a whole lot of false teaching going on. Just this week alone, up in Canada, I won't mention where the church is up there, but one of our churches up there, there were 14 members that just walked out. And why did they walk out? They had an argument over the Jewish calendar. Here's what happens. Satan likes to find a crack in the door. Satan will look for a little crack in the door, and something as simple as the Jewish calendar, or it could be eating out on the Sabbath at with church members or something like this. It could be any little thing that Satan will use to divide and get you out of his church. Satan knows he is in the last days, and so do we. And he's going to try everything he can. Well, Paul wrote 2 Timothy, which is actually a sequel to 1 Timothy. And he wrote it actually after he wrote Titus. Now we have 1 Timothy, and then he wrote Titus, and then he wrote 2 Timothy while he was in prison in between time there. And sent the letter out to young Timothy. So, in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul was encouraging Timothy to stay close to God and not allow himself to be led away to teach something other than God's truth. Paul wanted to make sure of that. Paul was Timothy's mentor. He wasn't his actual physical son, of course, but he was a spiritual son to him. He wanted to make sure that Timothy was teaching the very Word of God, and the lessons that Paul was teaching Timothy applies to each and every one of us today. God put together the Bible to give us all of the information that we need. We can have all the questions, what God is going to do when Christ returns, and what he's going to do with the universe. We don't need to know all that right now. God gave us his Bible, the lessons that we need to know to do what? To obey him and to repent of our sins and to be prepared to be into his coming kingdom so that we can be changed into spirit beings just as he and Jesus the Christ are. But Paul wanted to make sure that Timothy was on the right track and was focused properly, as each and every one of us need to do right now ourselves. Let's all not forget that we are all teaching every day. We're all teachers. We're all teaching every day by the words that we speak and the actions that we do, because our example, whether we say a word or not, in some cases it's better we don't say a word, but by our example, we are teaching others every day, everybody we come in contact with, because they will be able to see how we conduct ourselves and know that we are different. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And Paul is saying here to Timothy, he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And he's saying to Timothy here in verse 2, he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? That means, you know, the seasons of God's holy days and the in-between times and all times, every day, be ready in season and out of season to consistently preach God's word. He says, convince the people, rebuke the people, exhort the people with all long-suffering, with patience, and teaching. Verse 3, for the time, why does he want him to be in season and out of season and be preaching God's word? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they will have what? They will have itchy ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. And as what they will be looking for is every little crack in the door there that Satan's looking for to take you out. the least little thing, if you have the curiosity as the cat, so to speak, you know, some people like to go through and nitpick. They like to nitpick and say, well, you know, you could take this scripture this way or that way, or you could think this or think that. Satan is right there to take you right down the wrong path. And these people will not endure sound doctrine. They'll say, well, you know, if there's a question here, the whole thing must be questioned. And they will heap up for themselves teachers that will do what? Teachers that will tell them what they want to hear and make them feel good. There's a guy, I scroll through the Sunday television sometimes, and there's one guy from Texas, can't remember his name. But anyway, he really doesn't teach anything about scriptures out of the Bible, but he tells the people all of the good, wonderful things that God could give them. If you needed $1 million, you know, just ask God for it. And he's telling them what they want to hear to make them feel good and to make them feel righteous. And Paul is explaining here, because God had put it into Paul's mind to teach young Timothy here, and this is written for me and you, that don't get itchy ears, don't nitpick. God gave us the main parts of what he wants us to know. He wants us to know his laws and why we should obey them. He wants us to know that he is God. He has created us. He wants us to know that we are sinful people. His laws will show us that. We break his laws every day, whether you're baptized or not. We need to repent daily. We need to study daily and get the spiritual food that God wants us to have. Because time will come, and the time happened back then, and the time is happening today, and the time will happen where people will not endure sound doctrine. Sound teaching is what that means. And then in verse 4 he says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Yeah, they will believe all of the little fables, all the little lies that somebody made up. Verse 5, and he says, but you, this includes me and you and young Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure all afflictions. A lot of afflictions is going to be coming our way. God says that we will have persecutions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Be a teacher. Be an evangelist. Dividing God's word properly. And, you know, again, is what these people will look for. They will look for teachers that will tell them what they want to hear and what makes them feel good. They will not endure the truth. And so we have to remember that. In verse 6, Paul was telling how he has been pouring out his life in service to Jesus Christ and knew his death was near. Yeah, Paul was in prison there. And the courts had already decided they were going to do away with him. He did serve God until the end of his life. Paul was in prison there in jail, didn't even have a coat. Freezing cold at night and damp and wet. He was really enduring the hardships here. But that did not make Paul give up from serving God all the way through to his last breath. And while he was in prison there, he was hoping that young Timothy could come see him. I believe it was Peter that did come see him, or Luke. I'll have to check and see on this as I go along here. But anyway, he served God to his last breath by putting God's will first in his life, teaching to as many as God called to hear the truth. He was ready in season and out of season, the same thing he was teaching young Timothy there. Paul was teaching his spiritual son Timothy to be consistent with integrity in teaching God's truth to the congregations. He didn't want him to drift from side to side or to listen to any of these feel-good teachers that were out there running loose. And we've got a bunch of them today. Loads of them today that are wanting to teach something other than God's truth. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 14. Well, we're right there, close to it. 2 Timothy, let's read verses, let's start in verse 14 there. And he says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. You know, don't be picky. Read God's word and take it exactly for what it says. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing God's truth, the word. Verse 16, but shun profane, vain babblings. Useless talk is what he's talking about here. For they will increase to more ungodliness. Take you right down the rabbit hole, so to speak, where Satan is trying to take people down and divide and separate you out of the church, is what Satan is trying to do. And he is on the warpath right now. Verse 17, and their message will spread like cancer. Yes, it will spread like cancer. And we know that's exactly what he is doing. And we don't want to drift away at all, because there were several then that drifted away. There are several right now that are drifting away from God's truth. And they will come up with all kinds of crazy doctrines and ideas that they're talking about. Let's go into verse 19 there. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. God doesn't change. His laws are the same yesterday, today, and forever. His holy days, his Sabbath, nothing changes. But there's going to be teachers out there that is going to be changing things, and they will give you an idea and say, well, you know, this scripture could go this way or that way, so I think we'll just go this way. No, God does not change. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, we profess that we are Christians. Let's depart from iniquity. And we need to be reading God's truth every day to get that spiritual food, and so that we can turn from our sins and the wrong ways that we've been thinking and living and the attitudes we have toward other people. Verse 20, but in a great house, you know, he's making an example here. In a great house, which could be a church, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor, right in God's church. We know that. We know that. We're all at different levels of conversion. There are some that are counted like wood and clay, and there are some that are gold and silver. But we need to be striving to be that gold and silver. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, you know, from being the weaker part, the wood and the clay, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, set apart, and useful for the master. Who is the master? Jesus the Christ is the master. Prepared for every what? Prepared for every good work. Now, I was talking earlier about your example, our example, that we set. Without even saying a word, the people we come in contact with, we are showing that we are different, and that is a good work. That is a good work. And so by our example, the way that we live is what we need to be cleansing ourselves to be that which could be used by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust. You know, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Remind yourself that we are part of the body of Christ, and that we need to be constantly purifying as we go through our life. And when a sin pops in our mind, don't wait till later to pray about it and ask God instantly to forgive you of your sin and to keep a pure heart. Verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Don't argue about nothing. And don't make a decision on something before you get all the facts. And then question it. And study more, ask God for his intervention to show you how to discern every word of God, to understand. Verse 24, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient," to be patiently. Verse 25, "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, but do it in the right way. Do it by your example. Do it by encouraging words. If you see somebody going down the wrong road, correct them in a gentle way. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth." God wants every human to repent of their sins and to eventually be in His coming kingdom, is what God wants for all humans. Verse 26, "And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil." Satan is fooling lots of people. Back in the day here in 2 Timothy, where we're talking right here with Paul and with Timothy and with all the others, nothing has changed. There's nothing new under the sun. Satan is still doing the same tricks today as he did back then. And he is saying here that, you know, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will, to do Satan's will, and not God's will. A lot of things that we need to be thinking about in our daily life, that we need to be taking care of. We should be in constant repentance. Now, when you are baptized, you come up out of the water, all your past sins are gone, and then we lay hands on you and you receive God's Holy Spirit. From that moment on, for the rest of your life, you are repenting. You don't repent overnight. We live in the human flesh. We are going to sin every day for the rest of our lives, but we need to repent every day for the rest of our lives. And it's by the sinless life of Jesus Christ that we have righteousness, so that we can enter into God's coming kingdom. And that's what we are striving for and what we are doing. Paul there was warning Timothy about his association with others and encouraging him to reflect back on the years that Paul was teaching him. Years together, and remember the ethical and a consistency in the midst of difficulty. You know, with all the things that Satan is spreading and all the things that he is doing, there's going to be difficulty for the rest of our lives. And we can see that coming on the news every day, and we think, well, we're safe right here in the United States. Don't rest on that. We can be persecuted as well, just as bad or even harder right here in this country. This country, I pray God will have mercy on it, but we know what they are doing with same-sex marriage and what they're doing with transgender and all of the heinous crimes that the people of the United States are doing, and also the people around the world. And God is not going to bless this country for our collective sins. He will bless us individually, and He says that He will protect us as long as we're faithful to Him. So that's what we need to be working on. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3 there. Chapter 3. And let's read verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5 to start with there. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Oh yeah, we're seeing that. We saw that what happened in Paris. We saw what happened in 9/11. We saw, you know, what the attitude and tendencies are of the people coming across the border here to infiltrate us, to take us over and to cause us perilous times. Yes, perilous times in the last days, it says here. I believe we're in the last days. Last days will come. Verse 2, "For men will be lovers of themselves, only thinking about themselves, lovers of money, what I can beat somebody out of, or what I can make, or whatever I can do, because if they have money, that they have power. They will be boasters, they will be proud, blasphemers. They don't need God and God's blessings, they will blaspheme against God. Disobedient to parents, have no respect at all, even for their parents. I mean, you know what the fifth commandment tells us, that if we honor our father and our mother, that God will give us long life on this earth, and He counts that as a blessing, of course. And they will be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Yes, today people get a crown of glory from other evil people for doing wrong things. You take like this Bruce Jenner that has wanting to turn himself into a woman. He is getting praise and honor and glory from the people of this country and around the world. So, we're so proud of him. He has stepped out. He should be ashamed and an embarrassment to humanity. They'll be traitors and they'll be headstrong. They'll be haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They are taking God out of the picture. Right now, in our schools, they're not even allowed to even talk about God. The teacher would get fired and the kids would be sent home. It's horrible that they are taking God out of everything. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, what God tells me and you to do? Turn away. Turn away from these kind of people. Let's drop down to verse 10 through 15. And he tells us here, but you. He's talking to Timothy there, and he's talking to me and you today. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my teaching. Yes, we have been studying Paul's teaching, and so did young Timothy there. You have followed my doctrine, my teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, and talk about persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, and what persecutions I endured. And out of all of those persecutions, Paul could stand there and say, the Lord delivered me. Now, for us to be protected in this country that we're in right now, that's going to be in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble right now. God will deliver us if we are obedient to Him and respect and honor Him and live the kind of life that He is teaching us to do. And if we are repenting daily, eating God's spiritual food daily. Verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Yes, we're going to suffer persecution, not just for our own sins, but also for the collective sins of this entire country that we're living in and the world that we're living in. But evil men and the imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's a whole lot of people that is allowing Satan to guide and direct them to divide God's church. That's like I just mentioned here. There was a church up in Canada where 14 members have walked out over a dispute over the Jewish calendar, an argument over the Jewish calendar. Who cares? Why would you trade your eternal life for something like that? These people are being deceived, and they're also imposters. There are people that are trying their best to divide God's church because they are following Satan's division. As we know, that's what Satan did. He took a third of the angels with him. He deceived them. They followed him right on out. And there's about a third of God's church that left here in our lifetime, has gone out, that was divided out. They forgot who the church belongs to. It belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. And He is the only one that can, and He does divide. He does shake the dead leaves off the tree. But He is the only one that's allowed to divide, not these deceivers. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. We are learning from God the Father, who is the author that wrote the Bible, the truth that He is teaching us. And it's through God's Holy Spirit that we are learning, and through the ministers that God is using as his instruments. Let's pray that we all yield to God and allow him to work and speak through us. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And we need to realize that Jesus Christ is the door. We need to follow his example and his instruction. I thought I heard my phone ring. I guess I got it off. With Paul's instruction, Timothy, he made sure that Timothy knew that his success would be dependent on God's word. He knew that. He was teaching that to Timothy. Timothy learned that his authority would not come from his own wisdom. Neither will it come from me and you. Our wisdom is useless. From Paul's endorsement. You know, Paul could endorse Timothy and say, oh yeah, Timothy's right on the straight and the narrow there. And you know, his authority wouldn't come from Paul's endorsement either, but only come from God's word, God's truth, and how diligent Timothy and how diligent you and I stay close to God and do God's will. That's where our authority comes from. It's actually God's authority. Timothy's teaching would only stand as to what degree he based his teaching on God's Holy Scriptures. Don't let yourself drift off, be focused on something else because you heard somebody say, well, you know, it could go this way or it could go that way. The Bible tells us we are to prove all things ourselves. Go into the Scriptures and don't care what anybody says to you, but what does God tell you in the Scriptures? That's where you base your belief. This means, first of all, that we learn the way. What is the way? Jesus Christ is the way of salvation through the Bible. Salvation itself is through faith in Jesus Christ. And what is connected with that? Our total belief in Jesus Christ. Our total belief that God the Father sent him to do his will, to come here to preach the gospel of God's good news, and to come and die and pay the price for all the sins of all humanity. We must believe that. So we have to have total belief in exactly what God the Father sent Jesus Christ here to do. Again, all Scripture was given by inspiration, which is literally God breathed. God breathed it. God said the words. When God created everything there is through Jesus Christ, the Word, it was by fiat, by just speaking the Word, created the universe and the planets and created me and you and humans. God breathed his Word. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In this verse, Paul teaches that God was actively involved in delivering of his truth to the apostles and to the prophets, who wrote it down. They wrote it down. The physical guys wrote it down. But the author of the Bible is God himself. He breathed and spoke every word. The Scriptures that God gave us are true and completely authoritative. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. You'll turn over there. Not too many pages to go. 1 Peter 1. Let's read verses. Let's start in verse 13 there. Verse 13. And is what he is saying here. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird it up. Don't let your mind be loose. Don't let your mind be loose. He says, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, you know, as the base things of our life here, as in your ignorance, you know, before you even knew about God, knew about Jesus Christ in our ignorance, and that way we, you know, whatever feels good, do it, lust. And then let's go to verse 15 here. But as he who called you is holy. Who called us? God the Father does the calling. You also be holy in all your conduct. The way that you conduct your life, the way that we are living, the way that we are treating other people, the way that we treat our parents, the way that we are in reverence to God the Father and to Jesus Christ. Because it is written, be holy. Why? For I am holy, he says. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning. Well, what is your sojourning? Conduct yourselves in the time of your life. In this physical form, we are not going to live forever. We have a set number of days, hours, and time that God has chosen for us to have. So that's in our sojourning. And here, we are to do that in fear. And the kind of fear that God is talking about here is to be in reverence to God, knowing who God is, the one who created everything that there is and everything that there was, and who is in control of your life, who made you alive and will close out your physical life when he chooses, to be in reverence to God. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You know, you weren't redeemed. You weren't bought and paid for with gold and silver from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. You know, the inheritance that you got and depend and trust in your money that you either inherited or made or whatever. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. He was without sin. He was the perfect one that could pay the price for all of the sins of all humanity. He did that once and for all. So we have the opportunity, God gives us the opportunity to choose. He's not going to choose for us, but we have the opportunity to right now to choose whether we want to be obedient to God or not. And God will let that stand and will let that happen. And he also says here, he indeed who foreordained before the foundation of the world, but yet he planned everything of his creation before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21, who through him believe in God, who raised him, God the Father raised him, who was him, Jesus Christ, from the dead and grave, him, Jesus Christ, glory, so that your faith and your hope in God, so that we can have faith in God, knowing what God has done for us humans. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying, you know, that's repentance. We should be purifying ourselves, our souls, in obeying. We know God's truth, we know God's laws, and we also know that we know God's truth, and we come to the time when we realize, yes, I've been a sinner, and I want to repent, I want to change, I want to be obeying God, then it's time for us to be baptized. Time for us then to do what God wants us to do, to make that commitment for the rest of our lives. We go down in the water, we come up, our past sins are gone, the minister lays hands on you, and you receive God's Holy Spirit, and from that second on, you repent daily of your sins as they pop into your head for the rest of your life and endure for the rest of your life and be of a service to God for the rest of your life. Just as Paul was, even though he was in the last days and seconds of his life there in prison, freezing cold there in the cell, he still served and obeyed God to the last breath. And that's what we should be doing. But since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love, we We receive God's Holy Spirit at the time that we are baptized, and it takes God's Holy Spirit living in us, which I'll, as you'll see a little bit later here in the sermon, for us to be able to have the power to obey God. Through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Have a pure heart that is constantly repenting of your sins. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, God's Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Verse 24, because all flesh is like grass. The very first hymn that we sang here this morning, these words are in that hymn. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It's not going to change. It is going to be the same. We don't have to have itchy ears. We don't have to go looking for new truth. There is no new truth. God gave us everything that we need for us to repent of our sins and to be prepared to go into God's coming kingdom. We have everything that God wants us to know and need to know. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Yes, it was and is. God's word and the Spirit of God are both essential for salvation. We know that. And we know we receive God's Holy Spirit at the time of our baptism with the laying on of hands. The Word of God without the Spirit of God is lifeless. Why? Let me give you an example. I had an aunt that lived in Houston, Texas, and she would come up to see us and spend some time with us. The lady could quote scripture throughout the Bible, inside and out. But she didn't live her life as if she believed any of it that I can remember growing up. But she could quote it. So therefore she knew the Word of God, and we know that without God's Holy Spirit living in you, it is lifeless. Why? Because it has no power to act. We need God's Holy Spirit in us for God's words that we are studying to be activated in us and to work in and through us. God's Holy Spirit is not a person, as is spoken by a lot of people that are blindly believing that God is a Trinity. They say, well, you know, the Trinity is a person, just like Jesus Christ and like God the Father. No, it's not. There is no scriptures that prove that. But we know God's Spirit is His very power. He sent the Comforter, which is His Holy Spirit, to us to be able to lead us. We are led by Him, and we are able to obey Him through the power of God's Holy Spirit that is the Comforter, that is living and working in us. God says, you know, He says, if His Holy Spirit is not living in you, you don't belong to Him. And if it comes right down to it, you know, and your time is up, you know, and you'll be knocking on the door and say, well, you know, let me in. Didn't I know all the scriptures? Couldn't I recite them back and forth? And Jesus will say, you know, I never knew you. Why? Because you have to have God's Holy Spirit living in you. The Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, becomes a living force in our lives. It gives us the understanding, the discernment, and the ability to be led by God. It takes God's power living in us for us to be able to be obedient to God. Many times I have said in sermons that there is no new truth. And I still say that. There isn't. We are told not to have itchy ears. Don't drift off what the words say in the pages of your Bible. Read them for what they are. Close your ears. Put the blinders on. Don't be led away, because Satan's looking for the crack in the door, the least little bitty thing that could take you out. That's what Satan is looking for. Because, you know, that's one of the ways that Satan is working on. He wants you to have itchy ears. Satan wants you to take your focus off of God's truth. God's truth is between the pages of His Bible there. We don't have to be looking for new truth because our Heavenly Father breathed all the words in His Bible to teach us all that we need to know to please and obey Him and to take us through this physical life that we are living in. He gave us His laws, His commandments, to teach us how to live, and if we break His laws, we know what sin is, and there are consequences and penalties for breaking God's laws. God has to correct us. Why? We are His little children. You could be 100 years old. We are still His little children that He is teaching. He also taught us to repent of our sins, and if we continue to live by God's laws and believe what Christ did for us, we can depend on Him forgiving us and covering our sins with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because He died and paid the price for all of our sins. He was the only one. He was the only one that was sinless that could do the job. If we choose to live God's way, we can be in His coming kingdom. The Bible is our textbook. It's all we need. That's what God gave us. I know people say, well, there are several other books that weren't in the canon. Well, God chose not for them to be in the canon. They might be a lot of good history, but I probably wouldn't want to focus on that. We all have short lives to live. We got enough between these pages. What God gave us is what we need to do. And what is it? It is the source of God's Word. We all need to use it daily. I forgot to mention what the title of today's sermon is. The title of today's sermon is The Source of God's Word. The source of God's Word. It is God's Bible that He breathed and gave us the information that we need. Timothy was charged to commit his life to God, just as we are to do when we make our commitment to God at baptism, accepting what the blood of Jesus Christ, and we die. We go into that water. We die with Christ. We come up as a new person to be repenting for the rest of our lives. We are to do the same when we get the opportunity by living God's example. We need to be letting Christ live through us for the rest of our lives and be setting that example before everybody we come in contact with. Guy at the gas station, person we go to church with, the people we work with, person in the grocery store, wherever we go, we are to be living and setting the example of Jesus Christ. In Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul offered the main test for measuring whether the gospel torch had been successfully passed from one generation to the next. You know, the Church of God is in the process of right now. There are many, many elders and teachers that are getting old and in the last days of their life and in retirement. We can see that happening, and we need to be passing the torch on to others. Now, God's in charge of the torch passing, of course. We don't know what God has in plan. He might say, well, you know, it's time for, you know, a famine of the word. We don't know that. He may be just choosing those who He has already called, or He may be calling a whole lot more. That's God's prerogative to do that. But Paul offered the main testing for measuring whether the gospel torch had been successfully passed from one generation to the next. The teaching of God's word, which is profitable for salvation, is found in at least four distinct ways. Could be several more, of course, but there are four distinct ways. The teaching would ensure that the next generation would become complete and thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. Every good work, and a good example of that is to set your example. To be ready with an answer. Do your homework with your daily Bible study. know God's truth. And when somebody comes up and says, well, you know, I was thinking about obeying God, but what about this? Be ready to give an answer. If you don't know the answer, go find it. Go find it out of God's Word. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Let's turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. We're not going to drift too far from 2 Timothy and 1 Peter, but anyway, 2 Timothy. Let's get into chapter 3 again. Let's start in verse 14 through 17. 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, I've just read this, from the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And then here we are, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17. Why? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness. Being just and right. Doing God's will. Verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, again, for what? For every good work that God wants you to do. We are not called, and we're not given this information to save our own skin. We are all called to be teachers. And you think, well, I'm not a teacher. Yes, you are. As you live your life and you walk around on the face of this earth, you don't have to say a word, but you are teaching others by your example. Completely there. So effective teaching would include what? Number one, for doctrine. We just read it there in verse 16 that, you know, for doctrine, okay? For doctrine, which is teaching the basic truths of faith. Paul highlights correct teaching first. Correct teaching. Don't be going from side to side. Read what is in God's Bible. Teach what is in God's Bible. That is the doctrine. For doctrine, that's why God made the Bible and gave us His words. And that is the first one in his list. Doctrine means teaching the inspired word of God, which are God's very words. He breathed them, he spoke them. And then number two, there in verse 16, for reproof. And what does that mean? It means as you study the Bible, you will see things in your own life that you need to change. And we need to pray daily that God will give us discernment to be able to see those so that we can change, so that we can be like Jesus Christ, so that we can be doing God's will and setting the right example and doing the work that He has given us to do here on earth. God's truth and laws, they will do what for us? They will convict us. They will convict us and show us that we are sinning. So what do we do? We ask God to grant us repentance. Ask God through the power of His Holy Spirit living in us to help us to change and to be like Jesus Christ. Number three in verse 16 there, for correction. Correction refers to setting something straight. That's what correction is. To be straight, not to be, you know, flexible, going, you know, one side to the other, or thinking this or thinking that. It's for correction of the wrongs that we have been doing. We want to be doing the rights that God is teaching us. The right, being right and just is righteousness. To change our life to living on the straight and narrow, by living by God's laws and keeping the Sabbath holy and all of God's statutes. What are His statutes? Keeping all of His holy days. The weekly Sabbath is one of God's holy days. Then, of course, we have His annual holy days that we attend. They are holy convocations. We are commanded to be present if we are physically able to do that. And then the last one here, number four, in verse 16, for instruction in righteousness. to learn the character of God, which is to be a person that is just and right, which is the character and the attribute of God the Father and Jesus Christ, to be just and right in everything we do. In this case, instruction refers to the process or conversion of training up a child. We say, well, I'm older than a child. Yeah, again, we can be over 100 years old. We are still a child to God, and He is still training us up. And we are in that process of conversion. We are striving for perfection all the days of our life until we draw our last breath. In this list that I just gave here, these four main points, there's only one of these terms that is oriented to knowledge and information. And that one, of course, it was the first one, which is doctrine, which is teaching God's holy word. The other three in the list involve a change of life. The other three involve a change of life. Knowledge that does not profit a change in a person's life is what? If we have knowledge, just like my dear aunt that lived in Houston, Texas, she has been dead for several years now. She had lots of knowledge of the scriptures and could quote them from front to back. But knowledge that does not profit a change in a person's life is what? It is useless. On the other hand, living without any understanding of who God is and what He expects of us is dangerous. And you think, well, you know, God is going to discount that. No, He's not. You know, even the heathen who can look up into the sky and see God's creation and can even look at your own body, how it's so intricately made, all the functions that goes on in the body and in the heavens and all of God's creation, even the heathen knows that somebody made that. It just didn't happen. So it is dangerous to not have any understanding of God. And we can see people that are in this country and around the world, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that their collective sins are horrible. Transgender this and living together that and doing all these other things. The collective sins that God sees, God's going to hold everybody accountable for them. And they're going to say, well, I really didn't know your scripture. Yeah, you knew that there is a God. Just listen to the news at night for only 5 minutes, and you can see how dangerous the world is that we're living in. At our local news and also the world news. And what do we need? We need to be obedient to God if we want to have His protection. We need to be obedient to God. God gives blessings to those who are obedient to Him, just like our own children. We don't bless them for being bad and disobeying us. We want to bless and protect them as they are obedient to us. The study of God's holy scriptures will make a believer complete. He breathed the words. We have the knowledge. And after baptism, the laying on of hands, we have God's Holy Spirit living in us, which makes them come alive and useful for God to use in us. And it's what that means, you know. The study of God's holy scriptures makes a believer complete. It means that we are capable of understanding and obeying God. And then we are fully equipped for every good work that God wants to do in and through us. The person who believes and masters, that means we have to study daily. To master God's word, we have to read daily, and we have to have that spiritual food that God is talking to us through. We can pray to God, and God knows our interest and our perspective on things and the things that we are asking. Always do this. When you pray to God, end your prayer with, I pray, Father in heaven, that your will be done, not mine. Because God may have other reasons that he knows what's going to happen in the future, where he may not want things to happen as we see it. So pray that God's will be done. And he wants us to master his word, read his word daily. Every good work, Paul emphasizes the essential link between knowing God's word and what? Not only just knowing God's word, but applying it to our daily life. Don't just read the words and be able to quote scripture and be able to brag and say, well, hey, I got a good memory. I remember this passage and that passage. How many do you remember? Well, not all of us have a photographic memory. Not all of us, that's why we have it on the written word. Thank God for that. But we don't have to boast and think that we know God's word inside and out and that's all we need. No. You need God's Holy Spirit working in and through you. That's how you apply it to your daily life. Right teaching of the doctrine, God's holy word, right teaching of that, it should produce right practice. God knows our hearts and he knows the fruit that we are producing. Why? We are being judged daily. Did you know that? We are being judged daily. God is looking at us. He knows our hearts. And he knows what fruit that we are producing daily. Are we growing? Are we changing? Or are we just sitting still and think, well, you know, nobody knows what I'm thinking inside. I can smile and everybody won't even know. God knows. He reads our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows what kind of fruit that we are producing. Well, to sum things up, again, before Paul's death, he wanted to encourage his spiritual son, Timothy, not only to pass on the truths of God's scriptures on to the next generation, which is what the Church of God is in the process of doing right now. We're doing what we know to do right, to raise up the younger generations to carry on. And whether God wants that or not, God will decide that. And he will either make it happen or not. But also to pass on the basis, the foundation of those truths, which are the very words of God himself, to as many as God calls and leads. Again, our little church here in Jackson. At one time, I said, you know, before 95 split, we had about 750 people here. I feel there's loads of them still in the woodwork. And as times get tougher and harder, they will come out looking for protection from God. Right here, this little nucleus right here, you could be the leaders. Make sure that you are in practice of reading God's word, God's truth, so that you're going to be ready with the right answers and be setting the right example. When these people come back and going to need your help and encouragement, this little nucleus right here could be what is needed for Western Tennessee here. Teaching the doctrine is the cure for false teaching. Teaching the right doctrine is the cure for false teaching. We know a lot of false teachings going on. I mentioned earlier about this, our church in Canada, where 14 people walked out over the Jewish calendar. Any little nitpick thing that Satan can find a crack in the door, he will find it and he will try to root you out. Stick to the pages that are between the covers of your Bible. Read it exactly for what it is. Don't read anything into it. Let God give you, through his Holy Spirit, the discernment to understand, and give him that freedom to do that, and he will teach you exactly what he wants you to know. As we follow Paul's footsteps, and as Timothy did, we must make it perfectly clear that the authority of our teaching comes from the very words of God that he wrote for us in the Bible. If we are teaching the truth, but do not teach the source of truth, which is the title of this sermon, the source of truth, we will not succeed in passing on our faith. Let me read that again. If we are teaching the truth, but do not teach the source of the truth, we will not succeed in passing on our faith what we believe in and what we want. We got to let people know where it came from and where they can read it and where they can study it and where they can hold on to it. And we have faith. We gain faith. God gives us faith as a blessing through the words that He is speaking to us through the Bible. That's where we gain our faith. As we live our lives, our words and our actions have to be founded on God's Word, or they will be little more than just wishful thinking. In closing, let's turn to 1 Peter. This will be the last scriptures here. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's read verses 8 through 12. Finally, all of you be of one mind. Read God's scriptures. Don't put anything into it. Don't take anything away from it. Don't add anything to it. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this. You were called to this. Not to save your own skin, but called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Don't have any evil guile in your heart or anything in your mind that's going to hurt anybody else or be breaking God's laws. For his lips from speaking guile, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's keep all of that in mind. Let's remember where we should be keeping our minds focused, as in between the pages of God's Bible, which is the source of God's truth. Good to see y'all.
Yes, I did. Horrible, horrible things. You can turn that off. Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah.
There is no place safe. They